Good morning, or good evening, or good afternoon. Welcome to the Preventing Grace podcast. It's actually the evening right now. I don't know what time of day we're going to post this. It's going to be a surprise. It's going to be like a birthday surprise. So, I've just
Okay.
had like one of the longest 5 days of my life since the last time I had a long 5 days. It's basically been like Holy Week, which I increasingly have Holy Week happen to me as like a
We
regular
should just call it
occurrence.
holy life. Holy.
Yeah, oh yeah. Instead of Holy
And
Week, I have a holy life.
that you don't mean like your conduct, you mean
My conduct,
the nature of your stress and anxiety and
my
vision, is that
the nature of my service to the church is one of extraordinary holiness, a continual pouring out of myself for the good of others. Which you can tell by looking at my house, because it's like absolutely a dumpster of, it's a dumpster
dumpster
fire of the
fire.
vanities.
Well, you had an excuse this week because you had your catechesis training, which is,
Epic.
yeah, so.
Was really good. So a lot of people, ask me about Catechesis of the Good Shepherd. And I'll just do a little plug yet again. It's very time intensive. It's 90 hours of training and the cost there too. And you are supposed to make all the stuff by hand if you can, which some things you can buy. You have to set up a room, a special room. You have to be completely transformed in the way that you deal with children, such that it's like very opposite of everything, probably that you're used to. And then nobody, by the time you're done with your training and you've set up your room, everybody's so sick of you they never want to hear about it again. Still, you should do it.
I mean, I'm glad that we're doing it because we have a plethora of children,
Plethora.
in our
Would
church.
you say El Guapa? That we have a
Guapo,
plethora of children. We have
was a
so
great,
many
yeah, it
children.
was a great movie.
We have so many children.
Yeah.
It's really great. It's
Yeah.
a great blessing. It's also so much work.
Well, because like everything, I mean, when you suddenly like you get three times the number of children you've ever had before in your Sunday school, you have to, everything logistically has to change. You have to have more teachers, you have to
Yeah,
have more,
you have to have
train,
like
you have to actually
actual
train the teachers, you have to
infrastructure.
have a structure, right? Exactly. So,
It's really great.
but it's a problem we prayed for, so that's great.
It's
It's really
really,
good.
I haven't been this tired since Easter.
Yeah. The Christmas
And
pageant's coming up.
it's only October and the
Right.
Christmas pageant is coming up.
We
So there's a dog whining.
have dogs whining. I don't know why they're whining. So
Well,
we.
he's actually starving to death because he hasn't had any food.
Oh, I can get his food.
That one has had food, but that one's like literally
So we have two
starving.
dogs. One's very small, one's very large. And the large dog basically eats all the small dog's food. So the small dog is always in a state of anxiety about his food. We're trying to figure it out. But the large dog is very friendly and happy. But when it comes to food, he becomes a very different person, a very different dog. So yeah, we're trying to figure that out. We should probably talk about something. You know what? We should talk about something substantive.
We should talk about what?
Something substantive.
Well, I wanted to just say that I didn't, in my blog this morning, I didn't just make up that the king threw the man who wasn't wearing the wedding garment out as a sort of a random,
People have a real hard time with that parable.
It is hard, and
I don't
interestingly,
understand why it's
it's a
hard.
catechesis. It's one of the parables that comes up in Catechesis of the Good Shepherd. We have a little banquet hall, and we have a bunch of people who are all wearing white, and then one guy who's wearing brown, And then you have to take that guy who's wearing brown and like throw him out of the banquet hall. It
Yeah.
is upsetting to children because then you have to just like sit around and wonder, like, I wonder why he didn't want to wear the garment. And I wonder who the king
I mean,
was.
just on the
And
level of a story, I can see why people have a hard time with it, just because you put it. We don't have anything in our culture where you have to. Well, I guess we have a costume parties, like you have to wear, like everyone coming to the party has to have a costume, or you have tickets, right? You have everyone has to have a ticket, or you have like things like that. But I mean, the whole point of it is that Jesus is telling a story about himself, right? And in the context of being rejected by the Pharisees and others, he's saying to get into the banquet, you have to have me. And apart from me,
you have
you
nothing.
can't get in the banquet, right? So the Father is the host, and to sit at his table, you have to be clothed in Christ. And if you're not clothed in Christ, you don't have a place. That's the whole point.
And it's
So,
like it's stressful
right.
because a lot of people come in the end of the parable, like many are called but few are chosen, that a lot of bad and good people come into the feast. Like
Clothed in Christ.
the feast is full of people who have
Good or evil, right? Good.
agreed to be clothed, and a few people who have not agreed to be clothed. And I mean, in
Well,
some
one
of
person's agreed not to be clothed.
in
One
that
person who
parable,
said he's not clothed.
but the people who are wearing the wedding garments aren't all like necessarily good people, but
No.
they have sort of said uncle to the king, as it
Which is
were.
what the church is. Like you have a bunch of bad people
Right.
who are wearing Christ, who put on Christ.
Right, who are say who are submitting themselves to the rules, even if they can't actually follow them.
Right.
They're not
They're not saying, I'm going to do what I
saying,
want, and I'm going to sit at your table no matter what you say.
yeah,
They're saying, I'll be happy to take this garment
I'm gonna
and eat at
try.
your table.
I'm definitely gonna sin
I'm a
this week.
care. I'm a sloppy eater. I sometimes chew with my mouth open and spit my food out, but I'll wear your garment. I'll do as you say to the best of my ability.
Yeah, which is pretty limited. Like my very, very, very limited ability.
So
Yeah,
that's the church.
that's the church. And it's, I mean,
It
it
really
is
is. That is a church because
stressful.
you get it. You see this with, a good shepherd is. I think we've said this before. A good shepherd's kind of a. It's a great church. It's a wonderful church. And one of the things I love most about it is like it's really edgy. You get people who come in who are not the typical like Episcopalian crowd,
It's definitely
right?
not an Episcopal church
No,
as
no.
such.
And so and so and so. But I mean, even the ones who are living and who are just off, they often just having real deep, significant moral life issues they've had to deal with all their lives, they've all agreed to put on the garment, right?
Nobody's like, well, I'm going to come here on my own terms.
Right.
And
They're
to
saying,
heck with
I know
you.
this part of my life is wrong and this part of my life is off. How do I want I'm coming here because I need a physician to help me. Which is exactly what you want. So the dog is
He's
in.
actually rejecting the food that I'm offering. It's like strangely allegorically pertinent
We
because I've
should
just
cast him
placed
out
food before him
in the
and he's
backyard.
looking at me like, why have you given me this worthless food? I don't even have food, is what he's saying. It's like Numbers, whatever that chapter is.
We're
I
starving.
loathe this worthless food. No, I really enjoyed this whole section of parables through Matthew has been really fresh for me because there's some that I've meditated on my whole life. My whole adult life, and I've, brought them before my children. We've done them with children in the church, and yet there seems like there's always new opportunities in the church to refuse to forgive other people. Like there's always a new, fresh way to sin in the church, or to like discover that that letting God be God and admitting that human people are wicked comes around again, again, and again, and again. This was sort of surprising about Jesus said all these things 2,000 years ago, and they're strangely fresh and relevant for today.
Well, it's hard when you, I mean, I think, as I was just thinking about, Jesus's offhand comment. I mentioned it today in the sermon, like where he's talking about prayer. Like he says, so he's trying to encourage people to pray. And so he says, which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish or bread or whatever, would give him a scorpion? And he says, even though you're evil, you know how to give good gifts. Who said that? No one says that today. This is like, let's say
Even though you're evil, yeah, even though you're
he's trolling the
evil,
21st century.
yeah, that's
Back
right.
in the first century.
Even though you're evil, and all of everybody today is like, what? Are you kidding me? I'm literally not evil. I'm like,
He's advanced trolling 21st century Americans.
that's fantastic.
That's the proof of his eternal nature.
Is that he knew in 2023 people would be
People read
like,
that and say,
I'm literally God. How dare you say that I'm evil? I'm not evil. While like evidencing signs of deep and terrible evil. Yeah. Well, I didn't have anything else except for talking about the
We
Bible.
should probably talk about Israel a little
Yeah. I mean, that's been really discouraging but I don't know. Discouraging. All the videos of people around the world protesting against the existence of Israel was discouraging.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's it is for somehow. Jews in Israel have been categorized as a privileged class.
I
This has happened. I mean, they're surrounded by millions of people who hate them. They're a very small, tiny nation. They had 6 million of themselves murdered by Hitler, literally Hitler.
they literally Hitler, they are like they prosecute themselves when they do the wrong thing.
Yeah, like you can't in the IDF, if you wantonly, purposely murder civilians, then you can be arrested
Yeah.
and put in jail for
And
your whole
then
life.
I saw on Twitter like a Jewish multimillionaire who's done projects, works in Palestine trying to ameliorate the quality of life there.
Did they shoot
And
him?
his daughter was,
Murdered by the Palestinians, or not Palestinians, but by
by
the
Hamas.
Hamas. Yeah, I mean that's
Yeah, so
that.
like
I
he
don't
like I think there are
understand.
people in Israel who aren't deeply entrenched and angry. Like they're not they understand what's going on in Palestine. Like they're smart enough to see how it's going down. And they wish they could make it better.
Right.
But and yet they can't.
I don't understand how.
Like you can that the civilian population of Palestine is being held hostage
Right.
for an agenda that's
Right.
deeply wicked.
Yeah, I mean, I think I was reading a lot of them want to get out of Gaza,
Yeah, they're trying to get,
and
and
they
then
can't
Hamas or
because Hamas is
said
blocking their
you
way.
actually can't leave.
Right.
So.
And they're building tunnels under their homes and storing weapons there, and literally storing missiles in apartment complexes. Just is this cowardice? I
And
mean,
so then around the world, people, Westerners, protest on the side of Palestine,
right. Well, I mean, okay,
which
so
is, I just really did
by the
love that,
laws
like,
of war,
when
like.
you hate has no home here, you shouldn't be on the side of Hamas. If you have a hate has no home here sign in your front yard,
You
you
should have it
shouldn't be
right
on the side of
because
Hamas.
they're using human beings as shields,
Like
and
if you believe in the Imago Dei,
they're using their own people as shields,
yeah.
but the Israeli people, Jewish people who are not their enemies, or not like their armed, not part of the army, they're using as just slaughter fodder. I don't understand. I'm trying to wrap my mind around the mindset that equates Israel bombing legitimate military targets and as a result killing civilians, which is not good, it's terrible, but it's unavoidable in modern warfare. It's better than it ever was before, to be honest. I mean, like the kind of bombing that Israel's doing in Gaza couldn't have been done in World War II. And you had, if this were like 70 years ago, all Gaza would be just flattened and destroyed, and many more civilians would be killed than have been. But the people who are unable to make the distinction between that and purposely going in to Gaza and purposely killing children and killing women and killing civilians in their homes. Not accidentally, like not as, oh, this is a military target. Oh, I'm sorry, these civilians. No, you're actually going after civilians. And some moral, excuse my language, idiots can't distinguish between the two. There's a massive gaping chasm of moral difference between Israel and Hamas. And I'm sorry that we live in a time when people are mentally incapable of making that, or morally incapable of making that
I
decision.
guess I just what I have found so fresh about the these parables from Jesus in late Matthew, or the later part or the later chapters of Matthew, is that I mean I am a Gen Xer, so I did through the 80s live through this idea that progress was humanly possible. Like peace and progress were within the human capability. And certainly people on the left believe that, like Marxists and communists tried to achieve utopia. But a good number of people on the right, like people who really believed in capitalism,
Capitalism was the way to peace because
if you,
everyone has self-interest in making money,
right,
and so if
and
you
if
can get the
you,
communist countries to be to want money and give them access to consumer goods from the West, then they'll drop their communism and we'll have world
and that
peace.
we'll have world peace. So, like, consumerism was another kind of utopia.
Right.
And that swept over the world. Like, a lot of people in Africa have deeply believed that if they could just come to the United States, they would finally be happy. If they could just buy more stuff, they would finally be okay. The only thing between them and true happiness was a little bit more money. Most of the world believes that. That's not really a Christian belief. I mean, that's where the prosperity gospel just comes in full force. It sweeps over the world just like any other ism. But I don't see how you get through the last 2 weeks thinking that human people can achieve another ism, can get to a moral good based on their own goodness. Like, human people aren't good.
Well, no, I mean people, and people are morally confused. I mean, it's been fascinating. There has been a weird realignment. So, Big Eva, whatever that is, and conservatives, and some traditionalists are all saying, okay, well, there's no moral equivalence between Hamas and Israel, but I've been super disappointed with some on the conservative side who can't like their minds have been, and I understand this, their minds have been so warped by COVID and the lies that were told to us in co during COVID. Like there's so many lies about masking, about the Wuhan lab, about the vaccines, so many lies, and then lies about Ukraine. There were lies about Ukraine. I mean, regardless of what, I mean, it's just so, and so therefore, when these people saw pictures coming out of Israel, out of the on October 7th, they immediately discounted them. They immediately think, oh, this is another scam. This is another conspiracy. And so there's a lot of people out there right now trying to debunk this thing. And it's in, but I mean, the problem is that this is not new behavior on the part of Hamas. This is not like, I mean, if this is not something that Israel has to make up, because if you look back historically, Hamas, Hezbollah, these organizations are terrorist organizations. They purposely target civilians. And if you can't make the moral distinction between Israel, who bombs a military target in Gaza, that also happens to kill civilians because Hamas hides behind civilians, and Hamas purposely slaughter going into people's homes and slaughtering them, then there's a huge you have you've got a you've got you've got such a moral.
But I mean, I think that makes sense that we would have this sort of empty space. I over the last 25 years, more than that, but it kind of has coalesced. It's become its own thing in the last 25 years. I do think, when you get DEI, when you get diversity, equity, and inclusion, the whole point of that is you would evacuate, you would make a vapor. Actual moral judgments about things. You would rob people of their true ability to look at something and make some kind of moral judgment. I mean, and the chief way that this happens is that everybody has been taught that you shouldn't judge. Like, judge not lest you
Well,
be
no, but that's
judged.
but
Like, people, that's the only Bible verse that anybody
no, but people judge
imbibed.
all, but no, but
No, they
they
do, but they did it under the guise of not judging. No, everybody judges, but they did it under the guise of them not being judgmental. They weren't judging. They were judging, but they were persuaded that they were in fact not judging. And that produced this, world in which you could look at Hamas and Israel and say they were the same thing. Faults on both sides. Both of them are wrong. Israel is just, wicked, and Hamas is wicked. Whereas if you dig down, if you do a deep dive, as they say, on the two, the way that their moral universes are structured, you see there is a vast cavern between the two of them. But Westerners have deeply drunk from the well of, well, I'm not judging. I mean, while they're literally judging,
Well,
they're telling themselves that they're not judging. They're just taking everything equally.
I think, okay, so we mentioned this in the Sanford podcast. I think there's the shift in Western culture, like secular culture, from the 90s to now has been pretty dramatic, because in the 90s, when we were in seminary, we were being told, well, not by our seminary, but we were being told by Christian leaders that the thing we're going to have to worry about most of all is moral relativism. That is, that there's no truth, there's no right, there's no wrong. Everybody has right. So, and that's the group of people who would say, judge not lest you be judged, right? And that's still going. There's still people there, like, who are still talking like that. But in the after 2012 all the way to now, there's it's not moral relativism
No,
anymore.
that's true.
So people are there's a now a moral code that everyone has to follow. It's not judge not. People still say it,
That's what I'm saying. People say it,
but
but
the
it's like
code
the
is
epic gaslighting because people
right.
say it, but right underneath it, like before you even scratch the surface, there's a deep and powerful judgment that's being made.
Right, and made on the basis of new values, and the new
Yeah.
values are, have been given to us by critical theory. So you have, and that's why I'm not sure our audio cut off before I said this, but somehow in woke world, Jews have been categorized as privileged. Like the Jews in Israel who are surrounded by millions and millions of people who want to kill them, men, women, and children, who had just 70 years ago been slaughtered, 6 million of them, they're somehow now a privileged class. And so what happens to them is just, right? If they get murdered or raped or beaten or destroyed, it's just because they have privilege. That's the new moral calculus that we have. If you're quote-unquote cis, you're white, male, or if you're female and conservative, or black and conservative, or Hispanic and conservative, and you're part of a privileged class, and it does not matter what happens to you. If you die, good. That's good. If you're murdered with machetes in your living room with your children, that's justice. That's revolution. People even said that on Twitter when the people who didn't deny the actual video and photographic evidence we have coming out of Israel were saying, what did you think that decolonization was going to look like? Did you think it was going to be a conversation or academic articles? This is what decolonization is.
So, yeah, and we all knew that's what it was.
Yeah,
like
we understood it.
That's why we were always against it.
Yeah, it's the French Revolution. It's the storming of the Bastille and the murdering of people who are just doing their job. It's horrific.
In the Christian world, the person who's against a revolution doesn't have to say, oh, the aristocracy had it all right. The aristocracy was good. You don't have to say that anybody is good. When you're against a revolution, you can say that everybody is bad and that everybody needs to repent. Like, you don't have to blow everybody up on the basis of human goodness because there isn't any. Like, the only way out of this is to admit that human people are wicked. The French aristocracy are wicked. The Jacobins, Robespierre, Hamas, IDF can sometimes be wicked.
But see, the difference is that if you admit that, then you're willing to be ruled by law.
Yeah.
Like if you can say the human heart is wicked, so we need laws to restrain the human heart, then civilization has a chance to go. If you say human beings are good and civilizational laws are restricting the goodness of the human person, like Rousseau said, and that's which is the basis of leftism, basically, that's where you get where we are today, right? It's a denial of human sinfulness and an exaltation of the inner goodness of human people. And so if that's the case, then what you need is to remove the restraints. You need to find everything that's restraining the inner self from being expressed and knock it down. You know, so Carl Truman says in his book that we studied for 47 weeks.
Was it 47 weeks?
It was 47 weeks. It was awesome. People loved it.
I know. Everybody loved it. It was amazing. I myself am definitely going to listen to all 47. I was in with the children, so I missed some of them, but it was epic.
We had great attendance at Christian Education all through Carl Truman.
It was a great way to come out of COVID, actually. We had to stop meeting in person during COVID. So I'm distracted because there's a dog staring at me with the eyes of his soul sitting next to a bowl of food that he won't eat. He's not going to eat the food. And he's looking at me like I've injured him. And I don't know what to do.
He smells beef wafting in the air. That's a problem.
So our fourth child turned 16 today. That just seems epic. So we have, only two children now who are under the age of 16. Oops. 21, 19, 17, 16. But the other one that is going to turn 14 in 12 days. And then the 12-year-old grew overnight.
She
put on something
tall.
That was like,
I'm suspicious because this does not seem like my child.
No, well, not mine either. You can't blame me. I told somebody this weekend that she's basically Khloe Kardashian. And they're like, yeah.
Who's Khloe Kardashian? Is it?
She's so all the Kardashians don't watch it, but the Kardashian women are all super short, but then Khloe Kardashian is super tall. She's the youngest. And in one of the episodes they did a DNA test. She was like, I must not be
Oh, the
part of
product
you.
of the.
She did a DNA test and she was, I think. I don't remember because I didn't care deeply enough to like imbibe the actual information. But I said it in front of our child who is like 100 feet tall. And she's like, who's Khloe Kardashian? They said, we're never going to tell
We're
you.
never gonna watch
Please don't ever
that
Google Khloe Kardashian.
together, so.
So, yeah, I mean, we have four daughters, and that's a really epic thing. That's turning out to be an epic thing to have four headstrong, opinionated daughters, which I expected, but nobody expects
The Inquisition.
the four headstrong, opinionated daughters. So we're
Well, they're
gonna
separated
go.
by the boys. Like, so Emma came first, and then Aiden,
Yeah.
then Rowan, then the other three girls. But they managed to
Yeah, no, they
create.
form like they've sort of like formed themselves that the boys don't even exist. They're the separate entity. So somebody on Twitter, no, one of our daughters Googled you, I think. And or she was watching Good Shepherd
She
videos.
searched me on YouTube.
She searched you on YouTube and she found a takedown of
Epic parenting
your epic parenting
tweet
tweet thread.
thread.
How many tweets were in that thread?
Was like eight
It wasn't that long.
tweets, but like it went super viral. Got like,
And the people were very, very, very angry with you.
yeah, because I was just saying basic like parenting skills that have been employed since the beginning of time until 5 minutes ago. And everyone was upset.
People lost their minds. So then this person is an atheist, did a long video,
25
20
minute.
minutes debunking your tweet thread. And we can't talk about it because our children have all seen it except for one child. And they have all decided that they would like to be special guests on a podcast where we talk through this video, we play clips and we talk through it and everybody gets to
Right,
have a say.
because the funny thing that people say this, like whenever everyone who disagrees with us about parenting, who reads that thread says, "Oh, your children, they
Must
must
be
be like
robots.
robots. They must be like totally like hemmed in, and they must hate you secretly. And then when they get out of your house, they're gonna like write lots of articles about how much they hated you and how abusive you were." So just okay, man.
Okay,
We'll see.
boomer.
Yeah, we'll see about that. So,
Well, I mean, yeah, certainly we're only 2 decades in at this point. We've only been parenting for 20 years.
I just, yeah, this our kids are not. I don't think you, the person who writes that does not know our children, because they don't, our children are not
Well, so anyway,
robotico. We
yeah,
can't,
our
we can't
children have
roboticize. We can't,
our
we can't do, get down.
like our children have demanded from us that we do a demotivations podcast where they are allowed to speak in their own voices. But they've also demanded
Give
that
us
they
a voice.
all be present, and I'm not sh like that's where it's going to break down because they're all so busy.
Yeah.
They're driving around. So you can expect at some point that's going to be unadvertised. Podcast on demotivations is going to drop, in which our children debunk that video that came out. So I just wanted to put that out there.
Yeah. But you should, we should link the video so people can watch it.
Yeah. It couldn't be more
It's
ridiculous.
funny. It's so funny.
He's very angry. And the thing that I like best is that he's completely humorless. So again,
I
I'm
made a
like,
joke at the beginning of the thread saying,
none of our kids are in
so
jail.
we did a great job. And I was kidding. It was like, it was funny. It was
Ha.
I don't know if it's funny or not, but I was trying to be funny.
People lost their minds.
Everybody took that like seriously. Oh, that's like the standard now. Your kids aren't in jail. Wow.
What if your children go to jail for good reasons?
Okay,
Like,
man.
well, no. I mean,
All right. You're humorless.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. Like, so anyway, we're going to go over to demotivations now, and we don't know what we're going to talk about. So it's going to be a surprise, and we hope you'll follow us over there. Thank you for everybody who listens and everybody who subscribes. And this is going to be a normal week where I blog every day. So thank you so much for listening, and we will definitely, probably for real, be back next week.